Welcome to RPGnomics. This is your host, Terry Robinson. And today, my guest is Charlie Cantrell, the brains behind the community content juggernaut known as Radio Free Arcadia. Charlie, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm going to go with well as well. I bought my house from my housemate today. And yeah, and it was super weird because I had to get a new mortgage to do that. The interest rate now was double what it was when we originally signed it. But since this was just a deed agreement between what is technically known as two guys, I got to write a $250,000 personal check. And that felt super weird. So that's one of those things where, like, integrating over the course of the year, it's like X dollars, X dollars, X dollars, X plus $250,000, X dollars for the 12 minutes where it will be in my account and the wire transfer outbound will not have occurred yet. So
yes.
that's a very sharp roller coaster.
Would be.
The complication there was also the place where I was closing. I live in Philadelphia. Today was Hoagie Fest, which is one of our sacred holidays. And Wawa, a convenience store chain, was giving away roughly 30,000 hoagies. So,
ow.
Yeah. I had taken my bike and my housemate drove, and I was able to get there significantly faster on my 12 speed than he was in a car. But that's the glory of living in a major city. So That's this week in over-answering. What was your first exposure to, like, the business side of RPGs? Had you worked as a professional writer or an artist or anything like that before making Storyteller Vault / community content?
Well, I have worked professionally as a freelance writer on RPGs for about 7 years now. My first one was Changeling the Dreaming 20th Anniversary Edition. And from there, I worked on other things in that game line. And I've branched out to other game lines since then as well. But just about all my work has been for Onyx Path. So that's my experience in there professionally. Longer than that, though, I've just kind of always had a bit of a curiosity about how the sausage is made for things that I enjoy. So anytime there's been commentary from folks about how games are made, I've always been very interested in that. And so I've followed that over the years, even before I became a freelancer. And so that was always very interesting. Following Onyx Path every week has a Monday meeting blog, and they will go into the business side of things somewhat in that blog on a fairly regular basis. And so that's always been fascinating to me. And even before Onyx Path, when White Wolf was still around and doing the World of Darkness games, there would be commentary from the creators periodically in various White Wolf blogs or even on their forums, kind of talking a little to about how the games are made. So I've always been interested in that.
It's pretty fascinating because at the end of the day, as magical as the table experience is, the business aspect of it can be impressively banal.
That's a good description.
Yeah, to put it in Changeling terms. And it's one of those things where whenever people are like, what's the best thing we can do to raise pay for RPG writers? To me, it's do whatever we need to do to figure out what it is so that your book sells 2,000 copies, because the returns to scale are so ridiculous.
Absolutely.
For printing. And that is the uncomfortable answer I have to that question. I have a few interviews in the work talking about people who are trying to run, like, small scale digital presses. But yeah, just being able to look behind the process and seeing that it's like every other business is pretty fascinating. So you got a check for a writer, to be a writer. And before, you and I were talking about day jobs, so I presume that was not lucrative enough for you to retire. So
for a long time, about the industry average for writers in role-playing, this is not writers in general, this is for in the gaming industry, was about 3 cents a word. Here in recent years, there's been a push to get that higher, and I think the industry average now is approaching 5 cents a word, but I'm not sure if it's fully there yet. I don't know. But to put that into real dollars terms, as far as how much a person gets paid, a freelancer is contracted for a certain amount of words, and you get paid so many cents per word. For a 10,000 words, 10 to 15,000, which seems to be about average per project, maybe sometimes up to 20. But if we're talking $0.03 a word for 15,000 words, that comes out to a grand total of $450. Not exactly enough to pay rent on.
Yeah, it's one of those interesting things where I do have friends that have gotten paid significant money for RPG writing, and it generally, they get it in one of, let's say, three or four ways. One is, it is your property, you happen to have done particularly well. There are a lot of people trying to do that, but it is remarkably hard because you have to have that game hit.
And breaking into that when there's all these established games out there already that people are passionate about and getting them to try something new can be difficult. So
You can be a person that is very good at figuring out what the market wants. So people who are able to figure out what titles will move copies as a supplement, either through open gaming licenses, community content portals, or something similar. People who write very large segments for very low wages. So the number Charlie had put forth, say something like 3 to 7 cents, and you're able to get a 20,000 word chunk on something you already have a good understanding of. So you're able to produce that quickly without too much difficulty.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about you, but in a writing assignment, I would rather rewrite the Mage the Ascension core rules than have to write 2,000 words of history for anything in the
That's
game.
That's true. One of these is significantly easier to write than the other. Yes.
For me, at least. There are other people who are like, why, yes, of course I could produce 4,000 words on the Albigensian heresy without looking into references. I am not one of those people. And kind of the last way is there are some people who are very good writers. They happen to be RPG writers, and they are able to string together a bunch of very small lucrative contracts. I know a number of people who wrote stretch goals for a Kickstarter of some sort, and they're like, oh man, I am getting paid 15 cents a word, or I am getting paid 20 cents a word for this. And I'm like, wow, what is the contract for? And they're like 800 words.
Wow.
What? How's yeah. that? In comparison, that is slightly more than one page from an RPG book. Mm-hmm. If you read something with the rough word density of D&D 5th edition or a pre-V5 World of Darkness game or Trinity or Exalted or any of your standard two-column layout with about a 12 to 14 point font, you're getting about 600 words to page to 800 words a page. So you're getting paid exquisitely well to produce one page of text. And that's one of those things where I will spend more time faffing about and coming up with an outline for that one page. There's a minimum amount of time any given project requires, and the rest of it is variable based on the size of the project. So something that small, most of the time for me would be just kind of getting my head into it and not even actually writing. But there are people who are very good at that kind of switching and they move very fluidly, or they're a person that is an expert in a particular system. Say you have a area of cultural expertise, but even then you're almost being paid more as a consultant. So you looked at that check and you said, how do I make this number lower? And you said to yourself, community content. What was the first bit of community content you produced, and why the dink did you do it?
So the very first piece of community content I produced was a small book called Kits of Arcadia. The reason I did it was to test the waters of community content and see if that might be a viable production method. And the reason for that is that, as I said earlier, I was working on the Changeling the Dreaming 20th Anniversary Edition line. Onyx Path Publishing publishes the books for that, but they license that property from Paradox. So Paradox is the one who actually owns Changeling the Dreaming. So any book that Onyx Path produces must be approved by Paradox. And it was looking very strongly like Paradox was pretty much getting to be done with the 20th anniversary edition lines and wanting to fully move over to the 5th edition, move the World of Darkness fully into 5th edition. And so it it looked very unlikely that there would be any more Changeling the Dreaming books approved by Paradox. So myself and a few of the other, or a handful of the other folks who worked on Changeling the Dreaming 20th Anniversary Edition, we looked at Storyteller's Vault and decided that that might be a route to continue the game line, because we still had all these ideas that we and aspects of the game line that we wanted to explore. But because everyone involved are professionals, they've got all these writing assignments that they're trying to pursue so that they can actually keep their paychecks going. So they couldn't really, most folks couldn't really take that risk of putting together all these thousands of words and then getting absolutely no return on it. Luckily, though, I am in a position, in a strong enough position with my day job, that I could take that financial risk. That's how Kits of Arcadia was born. That was the test of Storyteller's Vault, to see if it was possible that these folks who write full time could devote some time to Changeling the Dreaming still and not have their monthly pay impacted too badly.
Now, if you're comfortable, what was that financial layout? What was the risk? So Kits of Arcadia is a lovely product. I will let you describe what it is. What is that product and kind of what was your initial layout? And if you're comfortable, how did that kind of break down to the parts required to produce a text?
Sure. So Kits of Arcadia, it's a collection of playable character types for Changeling the Dreaming. They're called Kiths. And so this introduces 7 new Kiths to the Changeling the Dreaming 20th Anniversary game line. And these 7 Kiths were based on an old card game from the 90s that White Wolf produced that was a tie-in to Changeling the Dreaming called Arcadia the Wild Hunt. And these were 7 of the playable character types in that card game that never showed up in the RPG. The vast majority of the character types in the card game were either originally from the RPG or eventually showed up in the RPG. But these 7, for whatever reason, never did make that transition. And so this was kind of just a fun thing to take those and bring them into the RPG. As far as the financial layout of it goes, every Kith write-up, for it's a 2-page spread for each Kith, and every Kith write-up is 1,200 words per Kith. And then each Kith has an illustration that's a full body, no background illustration. So it's just a full character or a full figure standing there in some sort of pose that would make you say, oh, that looks cool. I want to play as this guy. 7 Kiths at 1,200 words per Kith. So that's 8,400 total words. So if you think about that for the minimum you'd want to get paid for that, which for a professional writer would probably be about 3 cents. But the vast majority of these writers aren't normally making that little for one of their professional works. But we're just going to use that as a benchmark, as the bare industry minimum. So that would be about roughly $252 for writing that. And that's the writing alone. Now these images, if we want to illustrate this like a like one of the official books, which was the goal of this, each of those illustrations, the cost of that is going to vary a bit from artist to artist. But the artist that I hired charged $65 per illustration, so $455. So if we add our 455 plus 252, so that's going to be $707 for just the artwork plus writing. And that doesn't take into account editing work, development work, graphic design work, or page layout. And in this case, in fact, in all the Radio Free Arcadia productions so far, unfortunately, the costs of layout and graphic design and editing, those are costs that I've just and don't actually put into the equation.
When you say Eaton, are you just doing that yourself and essentially you're paying yourself $0, or are you having someone else do that?
I am doing that myself and paying myself $0 for that.
Yes. Seth Godin has an interesting thing where he talks about how people frequently confuse entrepreneurship with freelancing. Entrepreneurship is the process whereby you come up with an enterprise that allows you to make money while you sleep. Freelancing is the process by which you send out work to the cheapest person that you can find, which is to say yourself, in an attempt to commission work. We're looking at 700 and change without any of that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And what portion do you get to keep as the publisher on a community content platform?
On one of these community content platforms, I keep 50% of the retail cost of each book.
You need to make $1,400 to break even just for that. What did this title sell for?
I was using the recommended pricing that Storyteller's Vault had in their guides, which I ended up charging $3 a copy. I think $2.99, but you know, $3. Mm-hmm. So of that $3, I had $1.50 per sale of the book.
Okay, so we're looking at trying to move $1,400 divided by three. You're looking, your break even is at $4.66. It is probably in actuality higher because there's a fair number of those copies that are going to be moved towards site-wide sales.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're looking at $500 to $600 to do that. As of today, have you been able to move that volume of copies?
No. Okay. No.
Assuming that you pay your writers about 5 cents a word and you have something like 750 words on a page, we can work backwards to figure out a per page rate. And assuming that you sell something for 10 cents a page, you're going to need to move about 700 to 800 copies in general, within some rounding, if you're going to want to break even. Any text that sold 800 copies that was not for Dungeons and Dragons would be a incredibly well-selling bit of community content for most line. Again, working with those assumptions, what did you learn from this project?
I learned that I would need to do two things in order to make this viable. After I recovered from this is not making its money back, and actually sat down with the data and how much I was selling, I realized that I would need to adjust either word counts and pricing, and definitely cut back on original art.
The knobs you really have to pull at that point are, you can try and pay your producers, the people providing input into it, less, or alternatively, try and do more yourself. You can try and increase the price of the good, and we'll assume that this comes out to a flat per page fee, that expense scales roughly linearly with size of book. It's going to scale a little bit less than that because you only need one color cover illustration. You're still going to have chapter frontispieces if you follow standard industry practice. You can try and move more copies. You can try and increase volume. And something that you can do on some vendor sites that you can't do here is you can change your take-home percentage. For instance, itch.io allows you to modify that. Storyteller Vault does not. The alternative thing you could do would be some sort of risk sharing, where you say to your writing team, hey, I'm going to pay you 1 cent a word as a down payment, but I am keeping aside 50% of the revenues to share to the authors as a percent. And now they have skin in the game and are hopefully going to then be part of your marketing team. What knobs did you ultimately choose for your next project? What was it and how did that work out?
So my next project was a smaller book called Past is Prologue. It was a book for Dark Ages Fae, which is the historical setting for Changeling the Dreaming. The way I approach this one is it only has one piece of original art in it, and the word count on it was right at about 4,000 words. It also priced it a dollar more than Kits of Arcadia. That piece of art that I commissioned for it was black and white line art. So it was only $50, even though it was a full page, the minimal background. But because it was black and white it was about $50. And then the $120 would be what you'd want minimum for the writing, plus the $50. So it would only need to bring in $170 to break even. And since it was priced at $4, I was taking in $2 for every copy sold with that one.
Okay, so targeting 170, we're looking to move 85 copies. Did you meet that target?
I did. Currently sitting on 144 copies sold. Didn't just break even. It allowed me to to cover some of the costs from Kits of Arcadia that didn't get met. So,
and presuming you're not going crazy with your layout, and one of the nice things about the World of Darkness games is there is a reasonably good template, there is a style guide, and also a lot of storyteller vault content is, what's the technical term I'm looking for, it a dumpster fire. So when you do have experience, it is clear that even you reading your own work twice and then asking a friend to read it is still going to be heads and shoulders above a lot of the things out there. So it's not like you're paying 2 cents a word for a formal editor and then 2 cents a word for a sensitivity reader. You have now done better, assuming layout didn't take you forever.
No.
Then
layout was very fast with this one.
Then if somebody had asked you to write this for them, so you mm-hmm. you. And that is the point where you've reached entrepreneurship. You have done better than what the formalized alternative was. And is that line art illustration the lovely picture on page 4?
Yes, it is. It is the evil fairy with the bloody hands raising up. He's raising from the blood pools on the ground.
I wish Onyx Path had more illustrations, because that black and white communicates so much more than all of the shitty color art in so many books. But as a fellow X20 fan who's like, no, fuck you, I'm gonna do line art, it is just so evocative and striking. It is better than every illustration in Technocracy Reloaded.
Yes, I really loved how that one turned out. It's the same artist who worked on this one that worked on Kits of Arcadia and also Harbingers of Winter. She just does such wonderful work, and her prices are extremely reasonable. So,
what do you feel your lessons were for this publication?
Well, one lesson was that I need to ignore the recommended pricing structure that Storyteller's Vault has, because it's just it's impossible to recoup your investment from it. The other one was to go a bit leaner on the actual content. Instead of doing, what was it, roughly 8,000 words from Kits of Arcadia, 5,000 words seems to be a bit more of a sweet spot for how much you can charge or get away with charging for a book. And then, once again, going with less original art, in this case, actually less expensive original art. So,
and it seems like the Storyteller Vault content game is kind of cut up into segments. You can make a 2-page quick reference, and that's 99 cents. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you're technically charging 50 cents a page.
Yes.
For these medium-sized publications under like 25 pages, it mm-hmm. seems like anything under $5 mm-hmm. seems like it'll move. And as you get larger, though, you start approaching that 10 cents per page, which is mm-hmm. kind of interesting, because like Second Inquisition for V5 is $32 and is only, I think, what, 160 pages? 140 pages. So they
Something
are charging 25 cents a page. And those are very light pages in terms mm-hmm. of word count. It is not uncommon for those books to have fewer than 250 words a page, which mm-hmm. is nice, because of the rates I hear that people are getting to participate in those ain't bad. To use the technical term. So you think that 5,000 word piece is kind of a good thing. Did you gain any insight, you feel, into who your audience is?
I'm not sure I learned any lessons with that. Unfortunately, one of the downsides of going through these content creator platforms is that you don't really have access to any of your buyer data. The publisher, in this case, Paradox, is the one that has all that information. So I can't actually see demographics of who has purchased what. All I get is the number of units sold. But the feeling that I've gotten from commentary on various forums and the Radio Free Arcadia Facebook page is that there is less overlap with Dark Ages Fae fans and Changeling the Dreaming fans than I would have expected. They seem to be two fairly distinct fan bases, and they don't necessarily overlap as much as I expected.
Those are two projects. What other projects have you done, and what were they?
So the next project after Past is Prologue, I felt that I had enough information that I could bring in some of the other professional writers, and we could do a proper big Changeling Dreaming source book that truly continues the line and do it in a way that they could get paid in an amount they would expect to be paid in. So that one was a book called Harbingers of Winter. And my original plan for that one was to actually release it a chapter at a time, with each chapter being 5,000 words, and each author would get a different chapter, or each chapter would be written by a different author. After all the chapters were released, then combine them into one book and do a bundle so that folks who bought all the individual chapters would then get the combined book for as close to free as I could get through bundling.
So more or less what was done with Adversaries of the Righteous and 100 Devils Night Parade and other things that were kind of done as installments, and then eventually a omnibus edition came out either as a bundle or as a discounted final publication.
That was the original plan. Plans didn't quite survive reality, though. Unfortunately, pretty much right after I got the outline put together for this book and had started talking to writers, COVID hit. COVID did a number on the development and production of this book. I had three authors who ended up having to drop out of the project due to COVID-related complications. And then I had a few of the others take a lot longer than their normal turnaround time would be, just because of the mental toll that COVID took on everyone. And that includes me, one of the ones who took a lot longer than I normally would have to turn around 5,000 words. What I was expecting to be about a 6-month development time ended up being about, for the bulk of it, about a year and a half. Unfortunately, even after all that and everything else was in, I had one author who turned in their first draft. The first draft needed a lot of work. So I put in my red lines, put in my notes, and sent the first draft back to the person. And they gave me their final draft back, but nothing had been changed practically. So I ended up having to drop that author and scramble to get a replacement one, because everyone else's work was already done. So the rest of this book was done except for that one chapter, and it was having to be started over again from scratch. And then that person got me their first draft pretty quickly, but then they ended up having some health issues and it took them quite a while to get me the final draft back. So it was almost about 2 years this book was in development. And in that time, ecosystem, for lack of a better word, on Storyteller's Vault had changed somewhat. A lot more of the bigger releases were being released than the smaller releases. So instead of these 5,000 to 10,000 word releases, there were things like Vampire of the Wild West. It's this really hefty book that was really well done of taking Vampire the Masquerade and putting it in the same time period and general setting as Werewolf the Wild West. There was also Vampire the Classical Age, which I haven't really delved into that one, but it looks neat. It's basically vampires in antiquity. So you've got like vampires in the Roman Empire and earlier. Trying to think of some of the others that were done in that time. I'm blanking on some of the others, but it had seemed to become a trend of larger books for a larger price point. And looking at, I can't see their sales data, but Storyteller's Vault and Drive-Thru RPG, which hosts Storyteller's Vault, will award rankings to books clear certain sales thresholds. If you sell 50 copies of a book, that book becomes a bronze seller. If you sell 100 copies of the book, it becomes a silver seller. If you sell 250 copies of a book, it becomes an electrum seller, and so on and so forth as it goes up. So these books that had a higher word count and page count and a higher price point seem to be doing pretty decently from what I was seeing of their sales ranks. So I talked about it with all the other writers. We decided that since it had been so long since production on this book had started, and that it had been advertised and kind of hyped for so, so long, we decided not to drag it out any further and just release the book as one book instead of a chapter at a time. With a higher price point, the grand total of the book couldn't have been as high as, you know, $4 per chapter all at once, because no one would want to pay that high of amount. So I looked at the other books that were of comparable size and what their sales rankings were. So we ended up settling on $12 per copy for Harbingers of Winter, which worked out fairly well as far as the math goes, because there were six people working on it. And since we got $6 per sale of that $12, we could evenly divide that so that every author gets $1 per sale.
Was that the marketing model that you used, where instead of getting a fixed dollar amount in exchange for words, you got a share of the ultimate proceeds?
I actually gave every author a choice when they signed on. I could either give them a flat 3 cents a word, because that's what I was targeting for my minimum sales for these, or they could get an even split of the proceeds. And every single one of them opted into the even split of the proceeds, which surprised me, honestly.
It now makes me curious what that break-even number would have been, where a similar project would 5 cents, would 8 cents have done it? I think that is a fascinating game theoretic question that we will not be able to answer.
We will not. But because everybody's getting a $1 per sale, in order to get their to make 3 cents a word, the book needs to sell 150 copies just to get all the authors their 3 cents a word.
Did it meet that?
It has not yet, but it is selling steadily enough that I expect it probably will before the end of the year. But it was released just a few months ago, so it's actually done pretty well. It's been meeting my expectations so far.
The one thing we didn't talk about was art for this one. Was there an art buy with it as well?
There was an art buy for this one. There are two original pieces in this book. There is the cover art done by the same person who did the art for Kits of Arcadia and Pastis Prologue. And also a single, I take that back. There's three original pieces, but I only bought two of them. The pieces I purchased were the cover art and a illustration for a new Kith write-up that's in the book. There is a third piece that's original to this book, but it was done by one of the authors as kind of a warm-up exercise for writing his chapter. And he donated that piece to the book. He said that he would have created it regardless, so that we could just use it for the book.
What insights do you feel you gained in this project?
It's a hard one to really come away with a definitive answer with. I would have preferred to have a price point where we'd meet that $150 for everyone a little bit faster than it's going to be met. But at the same time, I am really concerned that something like this is very price sensitive. So if I were to raise the price much, it would turn off potential buyers.
Yeah, it's reasonable to say that one of the things that kind of surprises me when I see a Kickstarter is there are some obvious whale support levels where people are perfectly willing to plunk down $900 to get their NPC write-up included, or $700 so their dog becomes an art model or something like that. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Greg Stolze talked about was, to what extent do we want to lash ourselves to a small number of people that are willing to pay quite a bit versus trying to have the widest possible audience? If you were to do a similar project going forward, do you feel you would have set the price point higher or lower? Like if you were to do another similar chunk of a text?
I honestly don't think that there's much wiggle room in price. If I were to set the price lower, we'd be talking years before making back the cost to produce. And if I were to set the price higher, I really think that with the average pricing on Storyteller's Vault, and that's what folks see and compare a thing to, I don't think that folks would be willing to pay much more than what it was for the page count that the book is.
Got it. So at $12, if it had gone to 10, you wouldn't have made your money back in a feasible period of time. If it had gone to 15, you think there would have been a drop in buy.
Absolutely. And honestly, that if we were to raise it to 15, because it's being split six ways, that actually doesn't really increase the speed of breaking even all that much. Because if we raise it to 15, instead of being $6 per book sold, we would end up with $7.50, and then divided six ways,
minus that becomes, yeah, it's 25 cents. Each person gets 25 cents each per copy, which I mean, is a 25% increase.
It is. Yes.
I think, I don't know about you, but I also do feel that as a fellow content creator, the notion that somebody could not get my product because of cost and they really wanted it just kind of breaks my heart. So there's a reason I do pay what you want and have 90% off sales periodically and so on to so that everyone in some way can get in on that. So I certainly recognize the desire to, even if there is a higher feasible price, to kind of err a little bit on the lower side. With that in mind, do you recommend other people that want to do community content projects kind of do that, who would like to get an equity share option, or do you think it is more fair to offer both? That is a kind of an interesting business model to choose, but it seems like the takeaway so far is don't go nuts on art. It's very hard to make your money back. Stick with a simple layout. I think it's also the case that at the end of the day, layout is one of those things you only enjoy after you've bought it. It doesn't necessarily help move a product.
It does not help move a product, but it can make a difference for how people interact with that product. So that would affect your word of mouth, which may or may not move things. I haven't really seen a whole lot of data on how much ratings and reviews truly affect sales, but I am assured by everything that I have read in the Drive-Thru RPG documents that it does make a difference.
The feeling I always had for those is I don't know if they're leading or trailing indicators. Yeah, well-reviewed products sell more, but that's because because there are more sales, which generates more reviews. That's... like there's probably a fixed rate of reviews per sale per year. So a lot of reviews is getting the arrow of causality backwards.
It's difficult to tell the cause and which is the cause and which is the effect. and I just don't have any data on that, unfortunately. So.
Did you enjoy the project? Did you find it professionally satisfying?
Absolutely. Harbingers of Winter was the book I most wanted to do for Changeling the Dreaming 20th Anniversary Edition after we did the player's guide for the game line. This was a book of antagonists, and that was something that I thought that the line needed the most of where it was, of what it was missing. And the work that the various authors did for their chapters just blew me away. They did some incredible things that I would never have even thought of. So it was just an amazing experience getting to do that and do it in a collaborative fashion with all those other writers.
Yeah, at least for those of us that have like good day jobs, I feel as if we are doing the games we love kind of a service by getting additional work to those for whom this is kind of more of a job.
I would agree.
There are 10,000 ways to support our community. And at this point, you are kind of serving as a project manager. And that is the skill you are bringing to the table to help improve kind of the gaming world. You mentioned that you looked over Changeling and there was no antagonist book. Do you think the fact that there was no antagonist book clearly drove people to it? Or do you think it was the names attached to it? I guess, like, how do you consider what projects you would like to take under consideration to do?
Well, there's a few questions there, so let me try and go through them. I'll do last one first, since that's the most immediate in mind. How I consider what projects that I take on, that's a combination of what does the game line seem to be missing, especially in the case of Changeling the Dreaming, what hasn't been touched on by the previously published works that is just a real, I don't want to say need, but something that the game line could really use that would be very useful to players and GMs. And then the other criteria is, do I think it would be a fun project to work on? In the case of Kits of Arcadia, it seems like ever since Changeling first got published back in 1995, there's always been a desire for more Kits in the game. So that's kind of what spurred that. Plus, I really like the storyline of Arcadia, the Wild Hunt, And I thought that it would just be a lot of fun to try and translate parts of that game to the RPG. And how do I change it to make it work with the RPG? Because card game and the role-playing game are such different animals as far as what they do. And then past is prologue. Dark Ages Fae only ever got one book, and that was just its core book. Its core book has a neat thing in it that was basically a longish sidebar talking about this one thing. So the premise of Dark Ages Fae is that you play a fairy in the Dark Ages. Fairies have been having this massive society-wide war in the realm of fairy, and they've just reached a temporary ceasefire and are coming out into the world of humans again and poking their heads out and looking around and being like, everything has changed since the last time we were here. But because of this generations-long war that they've been fighting, they've forgotten a lot of their history, and they just don't have a connection to their origins anymore. And one of the sidebars in there talks about these things called sacred oaths that the Fae, most of them don't even know that they exist, but the ones that do only know that they're very important, but they have no idea what the contents of these sacred oaths are. And the other thing with Dark Ages Fae, in Changeling the Dreaming, there are these big overarching line antagonists called the Fomorians. But Dark Ages Fae is a historical setting for Changeling the Dreaming, but it doesn't mention the Fomorians at all. Past his prologue was like, well, this is cool. This is a really neat plot hook. What if it's all about the Fomorians? And so I took that and just had a lot of fun filling in that blank in Dark Ages Fae. And so that was really the criteria of why I did Passion's Prologue, is just I thought it would be a super fun project to do.
Do you have any advice for people dealing with a community content portal or kind of dealing with a licensed work? Anything that you kind of learned over the course of this or that you realized you would need to keep in mind because at the end of the day, this wasn't your IP?
That's the big takeaway there. This is not your IP. You are playing in somebody else's sandbox. The owner of the property has rules that they want you to follow. And so it's very important to keep that in mind and basically follow their rules. This isn't your game, it's theirs. And so therefore you should be respectful and follow their rules. Now that said, part of the rules of this licensing agreement, so to speak, with community created content is that you only get 50% of each sale. And so that does make it a bit more difficult than it would be otherwise to break even on your work. And so that's probably the biggest warning I would have for folks, is to really look at how much you're spending on creating this thing. And spending in this case doesn't necessarily even mean money that you're paying to an artist. This is also how many words are you writing? What's the opportunity cost there? How much is your own writing worth? And keep that in mind when you are trying to price your title. Don't undervalue yourself. Yeah, price it in a way that doesn't undervalue your own work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that quite simply makes it worth your time. These things can be labors of love, but it is frequently the case that the audience will never know that. So they're like, oh man, this person is charging $7 for 50 pages, which is more expensive than the professional stuff. And you as the author are like, oh man, I really took a nosedive on this. At least the fans will enjoy it. And it's a little frustrating that that will never be known.
It's true. And that's the other thing. The margins are going to be much smaller on this than a professionally done one for, like, say, Onyx Path. Their licensing is such that they make more per book sold than what you will in the creator content. And they also have economies of scale that you will not have, because they will have probably an order of magnitude at least more sales than you will. So.
Yeah, depending on how niche or how popular your title is, I really wish we had a little bit more marketing data. I kind of funded a research study for that and got some interesting conclusions, but it may be time to plunk down some coin and do it again.
I would love to see the results of that if you do it again.
Yeah. So, Charlie, thank you so much for your time. Do you have any other projects in the works, or does Radio Free Arcadia plan on doing anything in the near future?
Right now, I'm trying to decide what to do next. We just recently released a title called Glamour's Chosen, not on Storyteller's Vault. This was in a different creator content program. It was Chaosium's Explorer Society, which is the 7th C creator content program. And that was to sort of test the waters in that one. It just came out, so I don't really have good data on it yet. But if listeners would like to check it out, please feel free to do that.
And we will include a note to those things in our show notes, as well as to where Radio Free Arcadia is bopping around on the internet. Charlie, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Gladly.